1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And would our youth and children like to come up for our youth moment, please? Any visitors, anybody that wants to come up, no matter what age you are allowed to come up, except Gerald. How's everybody doing today? Everybody doing okay? You guys can speak. You can speak, Wyatt. Yeah. You doing all right? How was your week?
Pretty good.
Good. What's one thing you did this week?
Mowed the yard.
You mowed the yard. Do you have a push or dry rider?
Both.
Both? Which one did you use?
Both.
Both? You get to drive the rider?
Yeah.
You know what you're doing?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't wreck it or hit anything? You don't run over anything you're not supposed to run over?
Not usually.
Not usually. Does that mean that sometimes you do?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just asking. You're the one that said not usually. How are you guys?
Good.
Having a good day?
Yep.
What's your name?
Nate.
Nate. I thought maybe he was going to pause that. He didn't know his name. So good to see you, Nate. Okay, got a question for you. Would you like to start this whole thing at Starburst? Somebody please say yes. Would you like it? Okay. Now, what you have to do, you have to take this from this hand and put it over in this hand. Can you do that? Without moving it. You can't do that? Are you sure? Do you want to try it? If I give it to you, you could, right? Now, can you put it over in this hand? There, thank you. But let's say this, okay? Let's say that this represents sin. Now, Starbursts are not a sin unless you're eating too much, okay? Sin. We're told in the Bible that God has taken, in Psalm, in fact, that God has taken our sin and done what with it? Removed it from us as far as the east is from the west. Now think about that. He has taken our sin from us so that it can never meet again. It's taken us from us. So why, if you take this from me and you go west and I go east, that's how far God has taken the sin away from us. Is that pretty far? Okay? But you know how he does that? How far is the east from the west? If I go east, when will I start heading west? If I stay heading east, I'm never going to head west. I might come from the west, but I'll never head west. So if I started walking east today, going that way, in about 100 years, once I swam the oceans and everything, I would come, we'll say 100 years, come from that way. But would I ever be going west? No. You know what? And that's what God has done with our sin for those who have come to him. All right? He's taken our sin away from us. And know how he did that? You got an idea how he did that? He went to what? The cross. All right? And on that cross, how were his arms? He had one over here and one over here, right? Nailed to a cross. There's a song that Casting Crowns does, as far as the east is from the west, and we tell it in his nail-scarred hands. You know, his hands upon that cross give us the idea. He has taken our sin from us. It's nowhere even near us. He's taken it away from us when we ask him for forgiveness. Today we're going to have two baptisms. And they've come to Christ and asked for forgiveness of sin. Their sin has been totally taken from them. Not just their past sin, Not even if Cooper has, did you have any bad thoughts this morning? You don't have to answer that, okay? Even if she did, even that sin has been taken away from her. Even if tomorrow she thinks something against Rhett, you know, how brothers and sisters, you guys have a good relationship. You guys don't fight at all, do you? Don't be lying in church. But even if they were, you know, that sin is still taken away from her because she's put Christ and accepted his forgiveness and is making him her Lord. And we need to remember that when we come for forgiveness, he's taken our sins completely away from us. We're no longer going to be judged for those sins. Praise God. Now, we're going to say a prayer. You get this, because I said you could have that, but you got to let mom and dad tell you when you can have one. Okay? And then the rest of you can grab some candy out of the jar. Let's pray first. Lord Jesus, we again thank you again for your love and for going to that cross and dying for us, rising again to be our living Lord, our living Savior. Not just religion, but having that daily relationship of walking with you and you with us and in us. Lord, again, we just thank you for the many blessings you give us, but especially that gift of forgiveness, that gift of salvation, completely taking our sins away from us. Lord, help us to remember that. Lord, again, we just say thank you, and ask that you just continue to bless the rest of this service. We pray this in your loving name. Amen. All right, you guys can go over there and get your candy if you want. Okay, you don't have to have it. I'm not going to force you. I'll just take yours. Insight to what next week, Steve, if you want to look at it ahead of time, is going to be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, Steve, so you got to go and memorize that whole section there in Daniel, by the way. It's in the book of Daniel. And then you can teach it next week. No? Okay. So that's what it's going to be. The second one is this. Most of you know by now that I'm getting ready to go on a mission trip. And part of that mission trip that we will be doing is handing out shoes to children in Romania, is where I'm going. Now, these are kids that the last time they had a pair of new shoes might have been 4 years ago. Okay? And that's the truth. Last time I was there, we saw children who had cut out the tops of their toe or the toes of their shoes because they had grown so much since the last time they had a new pair of shoes. There was one girl that came up. She came on crutches 2 miles to get one shoe because she already had one leg that was gone. Okay? 2 miles in the mud and everything to get one shoe. So when they say that, you know, well, sometimes just giving a child or somebody a pair of shoes doesn't really touch somebody, when I get back, you're going to see where that's totally not true. You'll see people that their lives are changed. And, of course, we're also going to be sharing the gospel with them. So beginning next week, you are going to be able to help out in this mission. We're going to have a shoe drive during the month of June and into July. My goal or my challenge is going to be to you is this. Now, visitors, you have to take part in this too. You can get the shoes to Gene if you go to another church. If you don't go to another church, I'll see you next Sunday. Okay? But you are able to take part of this as well. I'm challenging everybody for that for the next 4 weeks. If you do one of two things, each week you bring a brand new pair of shoes, brand new, not something that's gently used or from Goodwill or something like that, brand new shoes. You can get pretty cheap now. Or there'll also be a way that you can donate the money. However, I would strongly suggest that you take and bring a new pair of shoes. Okay? It just gives you more of a hands-on taking part in the ministry. Now, you may say, you want a new pair every week? Well, think about it. You know, $10 for a pair of shoes anymore isn't all that much. And so that's my challenge. At least one pair of new shoes per family per week. You can also take, and we'll have more direction on this next week, you'll be able to take and sign up to see who got your shoes or where your shoes went. Okay? You may be able to get a video of it or a photo of it. It all depends on where we're at that point. But you'll definitely be kept up to date on where your shoes are going and what the situation was. I said, there'll be more about that next week, but just keep that in mind. And just a little bit more about that, mission trips cost a tad bit of money. Okay, so one of the fundraisers we're doing, my beautiful, lovely wife, talented wife, has made a quilt specifically for this. Now, we're going to be showing pictures of that later on, probably next week. It'll be on Facebook. And we're going to be selling tickets, a raffle, to raise money for this trip. So just to kind of let you know what's coming up. So those are some of the things. Also, in June, you'll see the announcements. We have our family fun night coming up. So just remember that as well. If you would, please stand with me as we look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15 together. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who comes by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Just a little bit about that verse. Remember, John called Jesus the Word in his gospel. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has a witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity, the blessing that you've brought us together today to worship you, to praise you, to sing songs to you, to lift up our praises to you, and to give you our concerns. To witness two baptisms as two people say how they have accepted Christ as their Savior and now want to make him Lord of their life. Lord, again, we just praise you and thank you for the way you draw us close to you. Lord, we pray that you would just touch each and every one of our hearts today. But most of all, through this service, everything that is said, everything that is done, would be pleasing to you. For you are the real reason why we are here today, to worship you because of who you are. Once again, we ask you that as we hear your message, that you would open our eyes, our ears, and especially our heart to what you have to say. And we pray this in your loving name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Robin, have you noticed anything? Mm-hmm. Yes, this church has a lot of people. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Your prayer worked. Okay. Those that want to know what I'm going to ask, yes, Robin, later. Our beliefs are a tremendous difference. Make a tremendous difference in how we conduct ourselves on a daily basis. What we believe will affect some way, somehow, the things we do. We do certain things because we have certain beliefs about those things. For example, advertisers. You know, it used to be you had advertisers in the paper and on TV. Now, anytime you get on the computer, you have advertisers. You turn on the computer, you do a search for something, and you get back on Facebook. What's one of the things that pops up? Whatever you search for, you get an advertise about. Some way or some point or somehow. So advertisers, and they constantly, I put it this way, bombard us with the things that they think we need. Okay? If you are a youth and you're playing basketball, baseball, football, whatever it may be, and if you are constantly told that if you use a certain basketball, or if you use a certain set of shoes, and that was guaranteed to take and will make you play better, the shoes will make you jump higher, and you're constantly bombarded with this, you're going to probably at some point start to urge your parents, if you haven't done it already, Cooper, you would never do this, I know, but go and encourage your parents, or really, really ask nicely, can I have those $200 shoes? Okay? Now, Cooper, I know not you, but I've had children or kids, that youth that have done that. They've told me that they saw it on TV. Say back in our day, it was Air Jordan. I don't even know, did they still make Air Jordans? Okay. But one time it was the Air Jordans. Anyway, we are constantly bombarded with advertisements. Things that are going to make our life better. You know, the commercials, then we had the infomercials. You get this steak knife, and I'll give you a whole other set of steak knives. When you only need one knife. They'll say that. You only need this one knife, but here's another 70 to go along with it. Action grows out of belief. As truly as belief grows out of action. What we believe, we will act on. And how we act shows what our beliefs are. Now, it is the business, the goal, if you want to put it that way, of the scriptures to urge people to believe on Jesus Christ as Savior and to make him Lord. Now, there is a difference. When we come to Christ and ask for forgiveness of sin, and we receive that forgiveness, when we truly understand what Christ has done for us on the cross, we have made him our Savior. He has forgiven us. The next step is then to make him Lord, which means that he is going to take and be first place in our life above everything. That every decision we make is going to look at what he wants for our life first. That's what making him Lord is about. So let's look first at the writer's record. The writer's record. The works of Jesus were not written just to give us a bunch of cushy, nice stories about how Jesus healed people and just did different things. John says in John 20:31, these are written that we might believe. That ye might believe. In other words, John wrote his testimony, his gospel, for the very fact to lead you to salvation. To understand who Christ truly is, what he has truly done for us, the way he loves us, the way he wants us to be forgiven. And all of Scripture is like that. That it is written to lead us to Christ. Scripture is a record of facts. It's not a volume of cunningly devised fables. From Genesis to in the beginning to Revelation, where it says, Lord, come. Every single word is truth. It is a record of events of no ordinary life of Christ. It is written by eyewitnesses. Every reference to the Apostle John makes to Jesus points to deep significance to the total purpose of the Lord's ministry. That purpose of forgiving people and living a life in eternity. We often read books for entertainment. Sometimes we may read it for knowledge. Have you ever sat down and read the dictionary? I didn't have any either. I just thought I'd ask. But the purpose of God's book, the purpose of the scripture, God's word, is to encourage readers to believe in Jesus Christ. When you look at scripture, 66 books written by 40 different authors who were led through the Spirit over a span of 1,500 years, all pointing to Christ. From Genesis through Revelation, you have all these stories written by 40 different authors pointing to Christ, talking about when Christ was here, and then talking about when Christ one day will return. That cannot happen by accident. 40 different authors telling what the Spirit had given them, which then leads us to the believer's life. The believer's life. As precious as it is, faith is but a means to an end. Faith is a posture of the soul. Life is a state of the soul. Life is a natural result of faith. When we put our faith in Christ, when we believe in what He has done for us, we gain life. Not just life now, but life eternal. Every person's life is affected by what we believe. In fact, what we believe becomes the guiding principle of our conduct. Whatever we believe will represent itself in our conduct. For example, at the end of World War I, Germany had signed the armistice and everything, but there's many people in Germany within the army, including a man named Adolf Hitler, who believed that they and the nation had been cheated of their victory. That they had been misled, not by their enemies, but by their own political leaders who were in charge in Germany at that point, that they had given in to their enemies. In their belief, and in his belief, Hitler set out to take revenge and rebuild Germany in his way. Whether he believed that they had been treated like that was true or not didn't matter. His beliefs guided his actions. This is true in politics. It's true in literature. It's true in art. It's true in music. How many times have we heard songs that are talking about something somebody has gone through or something that somebody believes? For example, we're coming up on the 4th of July. Who remembers the song Born in the USA? Okay? Is that a patriotic song? No. A lot of people thought it was. Okay? Me too. Now, I'm not saying that's anything against song. It was a song that wasn't necessarily meant to be a positive patriotic song. Let me put it that way. It was about a nation that had some mistakes. Part of that was the way they treated the soldiers coming home from Vietnam. But my point is simply this. What we believe will affect, will guide the things we do. A personal faith in the living, saving Christ becomes the means toward a spiritual life of joy that is eternal. Excuse me. In other words, if we truly believe who Christ is, what he has done, if we are truly going to make him Lord of our life, or he is absolutely going to be first place, it's going to affect the things we do, the places we go. If we believe that Jesus isn't really who he says he is, if we believe, okay, I'll come to him for forgiveness, but I'm still going to decide on what I'm going to do, the same is true. It's still going to affect the things we do. I've shared with you, and some of you haven't heard this, that when I was first called, or when I first had people, I should put it this way, encouraging me to get into the ministry. I was in school, yeah, grade school, even high school. Okay? And I shared with you, I wanted nothing to do with being a pastor. I mean, they're cool guys, don't get me wrong. Okay? But I wanted nothing to do with being a pastor. Now, I had accepted Christ as my Savior. I went to Wednesday church. I went to youth group. I went to youth group in three different churches. You know, I was active and everything. And I had all these people tell me, you need to think about going into the ministry. And I said, thank you very much. I've already got my plan on what I'm going to do. Now, I truly believe I accepted Christ as my Savior, but I hadn't gone the full way of making him my 100% Lord and say, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I tried the Navy. I had the opportunity to go on Chicago Fire Department, not the TV show, the actual department. Okay? And the Lord shut the door on both of them. I even got in the Navy, and he still shut the door and got me kicked out. Well, not kicked out, but my point is simply this. If we don't make the Lord 100% first in our life, it will be seen in our actions. There's just no way around it. It will be seen, even if we want to try to ignore it. Have I been led to believe that Jesus Christ is the true Son of God, and to acknowledge him as my Savior and my Lord? That's what we need to ask ourselves when we read God's Word, when we read his gospel. Have I been led to believe that Jesus is the true Son of God and acknowledge him as my Savior and Lord? And when we have truly accepted Christ as our Savior, we see the believer's example. The believer's example. We are called as believers to be humble and to get rid of everything that would identify us as being anything but true believers in Christ. In other words, sometimes we got to do what is called that self-checkup and look at our lives and see, what are we doing? What am I doing? Now, I'm not saying that we can't be a hunter, that we can't play sports or anything like that, or go out and have fun once in a while, you know, just whatever. But if those things, anything that we're doing, starts to get in the way of our belief on who Christ is, or our devotion in serving Christ, then we need to take and do that hard examining of ourselves. And sometimes we don't want to do that. Sometimes we just want to say, I'm okay where I'm at. I'm okay with going to church. I don't want to be the pastor. That's what I said for a long time. One of the greatest mistakes I think that's been made in the church history is try and schedule all events or all activities of the church around the community activities. I truly believe that's been a huge mistake. Now, I realize that, especially in school activities and just different things, I do understand that if you're a church, you don't necessarily schedule a lock-in on prom night. I get that. But I think we've done a generation of adults wrong, and I think we're doing a generation of upcoming adults wrong by not giving them the opportunities to decide on if they're going to put Christ first in their life. And saying, okay, well, we'll schedule our church event around this certain event that's taking place so that the youth don't have to make that decision, that hard decision. We're not giving them the opportunity to grow in Christ and realizing, you know what? Serving Christ involves making hard choices. Serving Christ requires that at times there's going to be something that I'd like to be over here doing, but I know God has called me over here. I do believe that we have, as I said, made that mistake. And I think too often local church has just given in to whatever the schedule is in the community. And we're teaching our kids just to take and totally drop church altogether. Now, you may disagree with me, I get that. But all you got to do is see what our kids are active in more than what they are in church. If we want our youth to become adults who truly put Christ first and their faith in Him first, then we have to give them opportunities to make that hard decision. And this is just as true for adults. There are those times when we as adults have to make that hard decision. Am I going to do this, or am I going to do this, what Christ is calling me to be, or to be that day? The desire to serve Christ must be an obsession. It's got to be so deep inside us that we're not willing to take and compromise that. Jesus is not only our pattern. You look at Christ and His devotion to serve God. That's the pattern He has given us. But He is also the power that molds us and molds us to be able to serve like He served God the Father. In the deepest sense of the word, the mind which was in Christ Jesus must be in us if we are truly going to follow Him. In other words, saying that the mind that Jesus had to follow God the Father has to be in us. We have to follow His example. If we do not have His Spirit, we are not His servants. If His Spirit lives in us, we, like Him, will be girded with humility. And in serving Him, we will serve others. So in closing, before I get to the closing, I just want to, and I think Lola's going to say something about this. When we get ready to, when we start singing the last song, those that need to use the elevator, go ahead and start proceeding downstairs, and then at the end of the song, we'll all go downstairs for the baptism. But in closing, the Bible is the sole authority for faith and practice. Our hearts will be strangely warmed within us as the Holy Spirit speaks to us about our security in Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Let me put it this way. When I finally decided to say, okay, God, You win, I'll become a pastor. I can't explain it, but something within me just kind of eased. Because there's this battle that I want to do things my way in serving God. I'm not saying I still don't do that at times. But at least I'd given in and say, okay, God, if You want me to be a pastor, You got to open up some doors. 2 days after I made that recommitment, saying, God, okay, if You want me to be a pastor, You got to show me something. I got a call to go do a pulpit fill at a church that I had never even been to before. I didn't say I'd become the pastor, but I did do a pulpit fill. I started doing other pulpit fills, and it was just, I can't explain it other than to say it was a warmth of knowing that I was beginning the situation of doing what Christ wanted me to do. I'm not saying it wasn't tough. I'm not saying it still isn't tough at times. But I still have that warmth of knowing that, hey, this is where you've called me. When we truly make Christ our Lord, putting him before everything else, we are doing exactly what it says in Philippians 3:14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So in closing, ask yourself these questions. You don't have to answer them out loud, but just ask yourself these questions. What is my heart set on in my life? What are my goals? What are the things I want to do? What is my heart set on in life? 2, what am I devoted to, or to the most to? Excuse me, what am I devoted the most to? Now, if you're like me, you're going to say, okay, God is in my heart. Christ is in my heart. You know, I've got my heart set on those things. But then I've also got some other goals. I don't want to say that they're not spiritual, but, you know, more earthly type things. Like, I'd like to go to Europe sometime. I'd like to do this. And that's perfectly fine. Or I want to do this in my life. I got this set of goals in my life. And then we have to ask ourselves, okay, if we're saying we have a devotion there to Christ, is anything taking and getting in the way of that devotion of something that we want to do? What am I devoted the most to? And then the third one, are my aims/goals in life of any significance in eternity? You know, if I get to go sometime to Europe, is that really going to affect my eternal life with Christ? No. And we need to look sometimes, okay, the things that we want to do and what's our priorities is what I'm saying. Where is Christ truly in our life? Is he truly first? We need to consecrate ourselves to Christ and to the work he has called us to do so that we may know what a blessing this thing called life can be. Let's pray. Lord, again, we praise you and thank you for this day. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the blessings of being here today to give you, again, praise and our concerns, to sing songs to you, to enjoy being here together as a church family, to know that you are here with us through your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the baptisms and the decisions made. And Lord, we just pray that you just touch Cooper and Rhett as they strive to make you first in their life. Some hard decisions coming. They won't just be tomorrow, it's throughout life. Lord, we pray for each and every one of us here today that if there's something that we're putting before you, that you would just point that out to us. It doesn't say that we can't do some of these things, but are we putting them before you? Guide us, direct us, give us hearts to truly follow you first. We pray this together. Amen.